Please be seated. And go to 2 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at Jehoshaphat, but not jumping Jehoshaphat. We did that earlier, coming from New Orleans here, I think, in the earlier song. With the Saints, yes. But I am from Chicago, though. So. I once divided a whole fellowship there by seeing who the Sox fans were and who the Cub fans were. It was like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. As Bob Carden said in Romans 15:4, the things that were written in the Old Testament or before time were written for our learning so that we, through patience and comfort, might have hope. So we're going to be spending time in the Old Testament looking at Jehoshaphat. And many times in the New Testament, you would read something like, be unequally yoked, be unequal, don't be hanging out with all these unbelievers all the time, right? Not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then you would go to the Old Testament, and you could read a great illustration. So since it was already there, God didn't have to, in the New Testament, give us more and more more explanations with it because he had already had it recorded in the Old Testament. So you'll see many things from the New Testament where there's, idolatry is not good. And then you could read all of Kings and Chronicles and see that, the consequences of it. So if he didn't do that, the book of Acts would really be large if he had to reiterate every point again. So what we're going to look at is, we don't have enough time to read everything about Jehoshaphat, but really, in 2 Chronicles 17 is where we'll start. The biography of Jehoshaphat is a record of a frail, though sometimes great human being, and he's an example of God's indulgence and faithfulness to his own. And we're going to see there's quite a bit recorded in his life, and we'll start in 2 Chronicles 17:1. And we'll see that Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. So the first thing that we see is Jehoshaphat became king, and he put a standing army in places so that there would be peace. When he took certain areas, he made sure that he left some troops there to make sure whoever owned it before didn't try and take it back. So there's a number of tremendous spiritual insights in these records that we're going to see. But he strengthened himself against Israel, it said in verse 1. Now, as was talked about earlier, they were all together as one tribe, and then there was a split, and Israel became the 10 northern tribes, and Judah became the two southern tribes, and the kings of Israel. Well, we'll see here. Look, we'll be back to Chronicles all the time. So if you want to take a finger off and put it in there to hold your place, but go to 1 Kings 16. We'll be right back. But in 1 Kings 16, and we'll see verse 30, we'll see who was king of Israel at this time. A real godly man, and his wife Jezebel. But we'll see God's opinion of this, why he was standing against his brethren and of Israel. So in 1 Kings 16:30, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Not what you want written in the Bible about you. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, and here's her credentials. She was the daughter of Ethbaal. It's just something not, right away something's not right when you've got Baal as part of your, So, of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Samaria was put up as the king, as the center of the northern kingdom of Israel, like Jerusalem was in the south. Samaria was in the north. And in his days, verse 33, and Ahab made a grove And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You know, sometimes your children have a competition of who can make you angrier. Well, you don't want to do that with God. So let's come back here to Chronicles 17. So you see that Ahab, the king, and his wife Jezebel were very much into idolatry, evil ways, Baal, ungodliness. So this is why he strengthened himself against Israel. And verse 3, and it says that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam, and sought to the Lord God of his father, and he walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah then brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And as a result of leading the nation the right way, he had riches and honor and abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high groves, the high places, and he took the groves away from Judah. Well, let's jump down to verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And he went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and he taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents, tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams. So the whole fleet of Dodge Rams came. And 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles. You know, those big German type castles and the ones you haven't. Wasn't that way, but it was very nice places. And he had cities of store. What does that tell you? They had lots of food, extra food that they were able to store. So, you know, the bank account started to get larger and larger. They didn't live from paycheck to paycheck. So, the cities of store. And he had much business, so commerce was good, trade, which meant there were lots of jobs, people were working. There was much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. They had great competitions and all that. So things were very good, and you wish you could just go, and they lived happily ever after. Unfortunately, there's a few more chapters here. So we jump to chapter 18. This is just a great description of what happens when you get God's approval on your realm, and God just continues to take care of you. So, chapter 18, though, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Pause. Effect. Music change. But he joined affinity with Ahab. Now we read Ahab's credentials. They weren't very good, were they? And joining affinity means that he had his son, Jehoram, marry Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, the two probably wickedest women were Jezebel and Athaliah. So his son married Athaliah. And because of that, everything that Ahab's army, whatever they tried to, you know, everything they tried to do to take or to seek some kind of alliances or things with Judah because of the marriage, he now had to go to the family affairs. He had to go visit his relatives now in Israel. In Israel and the northern tribes. So let's go to hold here again, and we'll look ahead a couple of chapters. We'll see what God says about his son Jehoram and the wife Athaliah in chapter 21 of Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5. Gives us just a brief two verses of how these two people lived their lives. Verse 5 of chapter 21. Jehoram, he was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he'll reign after Jehoshaphat. He only reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Now, we just read with the kings of Israel who they worshipped, and it wasn't the true God. Why? For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. So you young men, take heed to this point. So, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel like as did the house of Ahab. Why? Because he was influenced by the daughter of Ahab, whose mother was Jezebel. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So this was not a good alliance. The first alliance with God was wonderful. But this alliance, this family alliance, this family ties, back in 2 Chronicles, by giving the affinity, his son married Israel's daughter, and so now they're getting together for a giant family reunion. So verse 2, 18:2 of Chronicles. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him. And he persuaded, it's the word seduced or deceived, or him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. We will be with thee in war. There's only one problem. They were serving two different gods, weren't they? Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Which was a good thing, but sometimes they had already made their plans. We're going to go up and we're going to capture this city. Oh, by the way, let's see if God will endorse us. Isn't that kind of backwards? Shouldn't we go to God and allow him his, you know, input and direction into our lives, and rather than, this is what we're going to do. Okay, God bless us. We get ourselves in trouble, and sometimes our prayer life sometimes fall that way. It really shouldn't be. So now they're going to go do a great work. They're going to take Ramoth-Gilead back because it was one of the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge, if you read the law in that, there were no prisons. Pretty much justice was very swift in that day and time. You did this, you get that. That simple. And every now and then, it was okay to commute a sentence, you know, because you were a celebrity. No, wait a minute, that's today. No, there were a few times where you could do that, actually. We could pay your way out of certain crimes you committed in that. But the cities of refuge is if you accidentally murdered, I don't use the word murder, then but you accidentally killed somebody. So if Alan and I had a dispute and I killed him, I could run away to the city of refuge before his relatives would come after me. So, but this one had been taken over by the enemy, and they were going to go do a great work. We're going to go do something for God. We're going to go get this city back. Unfortunately, God didn't tell them to do that. And we're going to find there were a lot of problems because of that. Again, hold here, and let's go to Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit, he that controls his thinking, is better than he who takes a city. So what are they getting ready to do? They're getting ready to go take a city. But controlling his, you know, ruling his spirit or controlling his thinking is a little bit better than aligning himself with an ungodly king. So let's go back to Chronicles. And we go to chapter 18, verse 5. So we're going to inquire of the Lord if we should go to Ramoth-Gilead after we've decided to go. Verse 5. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets, 400 men. So he had 400 prophets that later will meet Elijah. But at this time, they were still well-fed with their heads. So here we have the 400 men, and they said to them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we not? And they all said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. You can just see the prophets go murmuring, I concur, you concur, yeah, I concur. And just, okay, let's go. All 400 of them agreed. And Jehoshaphat had a little bit of insight into this in verse 6. He said, you know, isn't there a prophet of the Lord besides these 400? That we might inquire of him? And here's Ahab's response to that, verse 7. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, well, yeah, we do have one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Because he never prophesies anything good about me. I wonder why. But it's always evil. This Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, come on. I'm sure that's not true. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, they sat around playing bridge on the throne there in their robes. And they're in a void place, a big empty place, at the gate of Samaria waiting to have them brought them up. And while that was going on to get a true prophet, all the other prophets kept prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, verse 10, the son of he had made horns of iron. So we got some props involved in this. And thus says the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. Oh, I can see all the other prophets going, ooh, nice. You know, standing around applauding. And all the prophets prophesied, verse 11, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. The Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spoke unto him and said, look, all the words of the other prophets are saying good things of the king. Why don't you, for a change, say something good? All right? That's what he's telling them. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah is a true prophet of God in verse 13. As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. End of argument with one of God's prophets. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he did it. So verse 14, when he was come to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, oh yeah, go ahead, go with everybody else, go up and prosper. They shall be delivered into your hand. And the king looked at him and said, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? I think he recognized something too. And then here comes the true prophecy. I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. What is that? Was that good news for King Ahab? No, because if there is no shepherd, who was the shepherd? He was. So basically he would say, yeah, go ahead on up there. You're not coming back. In 17, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Told you so. Let's jump down to verse 25. Then the king of Israel said to the true prophet of God, carry him back to Ammon, to the governor of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I return in peace. Because that's what my 400 said. Micaiah said, well, if you certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me? And he said, hearken, listen to what I have to say, everybody. So the king of Israel and Judah, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, you would think that this would have caused Jehoshaphat to think a little bit. But he has this marriage affinity, this alliance that he has, his family alliance, even though he knows it's not best because he's just... And he saw the prophet, the man who he knew was speaking the truth, have to go back and be fed bread of affliction and water of affliction. How did that affect him? It doesn't say, but you can imagine how it must have. So now they're going off the war, though. And... where are we at? 28? No, 29. And the king of Israel said, you know, Jehoshaphat, since we both are going to, we have our kingly robes and everything, I'll just disguise myself and I'll go to battle like I'm just on top of a horse, like George Washington or something. And then you can put on your robes, and so everybody will think you're in charge. So the king of Israel disguised himself, they went to battle. Now God shifts the picture in verse 30 to what's happening with the king of Syria, who they're about to go into battle with. In verse 30, now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, look, we don't have that much time. We want to get back to watch Oprah. So fight you not with small and great. Let's just take the king out, then that will take care of it. So that's what they did. Fight ye not with small or great, just with the king of Israel. That's the guy we want. Where's the king of Israel? Somewhere. He looks like everybody else. Where's the king of Judah? He looks like the king of Israel. See, a beautiful setup, unfortunately, for the king of Judah. But God will rescue him. So, 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed him about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out. So here we are, we're at the war, and all of a sudden everybody heads this way because there's the king. Right away, you can imagine, you're sitting there going, why is everybody looking at me? That's an awful lot of arrows and spears coming this way. All right, so they compassed him about. But Jehoshaphat, in verse 31, in the middle of the verse, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord Jehovah helped them. And Elohim moved them to depart from him. So he cried out, and his God, God working with him, Jehovah, that God helped him, but then God, Elohim, removed the enemy, the Syrians, away from him. Don't know how it happened, but it just all of a sudden it was like, they're not there anymore. They're gone. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now, they probably all had pictures, right, of the king, of King Ahab that they had inside their armor, and they looked and, oh, no, this guy's got a beard or something. How did they perceive that? You know, Elohim. So when they realized it wasn't him, they stopped. And a certain man in verse 33, just, well, I'll get one more shot in here, is what he's saying. He drew a bow at a venture. You know, we're starting to move away from him. Let me get that one last shot out there. And what did he do with it? He smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. There's only a few places where you could really get him, and he got hit. Therefore, he said to his chariot man, turn thy hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. Now, which of the prophets were right? The 400 or the one true prophet of the Lord? One true prophet. So, chapter 19 now, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. But God had a little message for him, starting in verse 2. And Jehud, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? You know, sometimes believers have spend too much time helping the ungodly instead of, you know, helping those who are part of God's family. Should you help the ungodly? Now, some of the ungodly needs to hear the word and get changed in our day and time, which is good. But we already saw how ungodly these people were. So he basically is getting reproof here. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. And then comes the word you want to hear if you're Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, you know, instead of, and now you're going to get struck by lightning. No, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So he brought them back. He came back and he continued teaching the word and showing the goodness and greatness of God. And that's what that chapter is about. And then we go to chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, we were a couple of miles outside of town, and there was this great multitude coming up against thee from beyond the sea of this side of Syria. And behold, they be I don't know who these guys are. Thank you. Hazinon Tamer, which is in Gedi. And verse 3, when Jehoshaphat got the news, he was human. And Jehoshaphat feared. Isn't there a great psalm or proverb, be not afraid of sudden fear? Because sometimes you get that, you know, adrenaline rush, and then you go, okay, then you get control. That's what happened here. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He went right to the Lord this time and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And the restaurant owners all grumbled. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask. They came all together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They all gathered together. Jump down to verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord. They had their little ones. They had their wives. They had their children. So that everybody came together. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benihaha, the son of Jehiel, the son of a Levite. That's what we're after. He is a Levite of the sons of Asaph. The Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. They're all together. They're praying. They're asking God for help. They need direction. The Spirit of the Lord came down, and one of the Levites from the descendant from Asaph, who, of course, was David's lead vocalist, spoke up, gave prophecy here, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, here's what we should do. Tomorrow, here's what you need to do. Go ye down against... Now, notice there's only one prophet here, not 400. All you need is one prophet, one man with the Spirit of God upon him. Tomorrow, we're going to go down against them. They're going to come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you'll find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. So put your weapons away. Set yourself, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah, and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I bet there were some cheers being brought up at that time. Absolutely. Sometimes God tells them, go, you'll fight, and you'll need to do this. Sometimes you bring a lot of lights and pitchers and make a lot of noise. But this time he's just going to say, go. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the... These are all the sons of Levi and their children. And they all stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning. And then they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, because if you believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe his prophets, believe his spokesmen today, believe his word, so you shall prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise, now, I don't know, many of you in the military, is that what you guys usually do when you go to war? You put the singers up front. So he consulted with the people and said, all of you who sang last night, you guys go first. We're following you, Andrew. So he got the people together and he pointed the singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. When they began to sing and to praise, then is when they did what the prophet said, which came, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and were come against those who had come against Judah, and they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another one. They didn't have, like, you know, everybody purple uniforms on, and these guys had orange ones on, so you could tell everybody apart. They all looked alike, but they couldn't tell who's on whose side. Just wiped each other out. Because verse 24 then, and when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, nothing there but dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, and grabbed their credit cards. And when they stripped off for themselves more than they could even carry, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the valley of the place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. When he was there fighting with Ahab, he didn't come back with joy. He was glad he just came back at all. And now you have 3 days worth of spoils to bring back with them. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets and alto saxes unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them rest round about. And once again, you say, they lived happily ever after. But let's keep reading. Let's jump to 35. We have destroyed the armies, so now it's time in verse 35, chapter 20, verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziel, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. That's all you need to know about him. This was the king after Ahab. And so he's going to make another alliance. This is going to be a commercial alliance, a commerce alliance. Let's get together, and what we'll do, verse 36, he joined himself with them to make ships. We're going to go to Tarshish, which is Spain, so they wanted to get built big ships because they want to bring back some bulls, I guess. What else are you going to get out of Spain? Tacos? But anyway, there's great commerce. Remember, he had the commerce going very well within the country, and now here he wants to expand. So, but he joined himself with a wicked king, and they built ships together. And the port at Ezion Gabor, if you know the Sinai Peninsula, you have the Red Sea, and then you've got the Gulf of Aqaba is on this side, and the Gulf of Suez is on this side. Ezion Gabor is right there. That's where they would build the ships, and they would sail out of there. So that's where they would build them. And so they spent a number of years building them, getting ready to go. They planned on what they were going to trade in Tarshish and all of that, verse 37. Then Eleazar, the son of Dotava, Meresheth, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, what is the problem? Because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah. The Lord hath broken thy works. Again, it was thy works. He got together with his traders and figured out a way to do this and didn't even go to the Lord for a blessing on this. And so a prophet showed up and said, not going to happen. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Not good. So he had things going very wonderful, and then he married his son off, and that didn't go very well in battle. And then he has a commercial alliance with unbelievers. And this isn't ending up very well either. But we go to 1 Kings. Thy works build our ships. Bless you. 1 Kings 22. And we go to verse 48. This will be the last verse we'll look at, the last verses here. But 1 Kings 22, 48. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. That's where they were going there. But they went not, for the ships were broken at the port. As they built them, a big hurricane or something came in, tornadoes, water spouts, termites, something, and the ships were broken, and he's younger bore. Verse 49, then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the ships. So he built a whole bunch of more ships again, and the wicked king didn't have enough money to rebuild, so he went, hey, send my, can my traders go with yours? And you look at the end of that verse, but Jehoshaphat would not. He had had it with alliances with the ungodly, because every time everything ended up badly. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We saw here the ungodliness of that he had in what he was doing. So at a price, Jehoshaphat learned that an alliance with the ungodly in marriage didn't work. An alliance with the ungodly in military didn't work. An alliance with the ungodly in a commercial enterprise didn't work. But when he stayed put with God, him and his nation prospered. Prospered very well. So as we started, he made that first alliance with God and kept God there as his first love. And when he walked with him and continued to have God's word as the standard in the nation, great things happened. Wonderful things were going on. But then you start looking up and getting into more what he wanted to do rather than what God wanted him to do. And unfortunately, he learned his lesson finally. But that was still a great time because it said that he was one of the great kings that stood for God. But like many of us, sometimes things are much better than another time. So look back and make sure we're right there where God wants us to be in our walk with him. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this great record that we can see it and we can learn great truths from it and that we can walk for you in this day and time and hour and be especially good unto the household. We're thankful, Father, that you have given us such a great family in which to live with and to work with and to be a part of, and that this day, again, we can be rejoicing and knowing that it's a great time to see how much you will do for us being your children today, even more so than your servants in the Old Testament, as we continue to do your will in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.